T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America. You call in for the fun, but you get the singing as a bonus every once in a while. Lucky you. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. You can also listen to any part of the show. And if you want to skip past the singing part, it's very easy. You go to KMOX.com/ONA, and the podcast is there, which is a digital version of this show. You can really just listen to the parts that you may have missed, which is pretty convenient. Okay, two things. One, top-ranked small school Cardinal Ritter may have used an ineligible player. The headline from the Post-Dispatch, number one small school in the top-ranked team in the Missouri Media Class 2 poll. They're 7-0, could be forced to forfeit all seven of those games. Junior running back Bill Jackson was suspended for game one, week one of the season, because he was ejected in the fourth quarter of the state championship game back in 2018. So if it's the last game of the season, it means that your suspension is applied for the next year if you're still playing or whatever it may be. And that was the case. It was applied forward to game one. Well, as it appears, the player was sitting, but it was this phenom running back that showed up that no one anticipated would be there. This rookie running back gets into the game and wearing number 24 instead of the traditional number 4. The freshman by the name of Marvin Burks went out there and was just so good on the field, and the team got a win. And then next thing you know, the suspended junior running back, Bill Jackson, was back on the field for week two. All is well. The season will not all be lost, except that they started to look back at the footage and the pictures in the video, and it's kind of suspicious. And they're like, wait a minute, that rookie Marvin Burks, that rookie freshman that is getting his first debut tonight, looks an awful lot like that one junior running back, Bill Jackson. Wait a minute. So this young freshman running back was doing all the things that this other player, Bill Jackson, was doing. He was leading the huddles. He was doing this and that. But the real tip-off was he had all the exact same tattoos on the arm. Number one, when did high school players start getting full-arm tattoos? When I was going through school, I don't think I knew one person in high school that had a tattoo, honestly, at least in my high school. Now, I knew people outside, like not in my school, but this is a Catholic school, Cardinal Ritter. That's a little out of the ordinary, or if times just changed from when I was in school. But nonetheless, the student has tattoos all across his arm, and you can look at the videos, you can look at the photos. They match up perfectly with the player that should have been suspended. So now they're looking into it. Cardinal Ritter Athletics Director Preston Thomas said, "We have initiated an investigation and working with the state to take appropriate next steps." And since the player was ineligible, their 7-0 record would be wiped clean. They would have taken all losses for that. So done. Done. Wow. Why would you do something like that? Why would you try to pull that scam and think no one would notice, honestly? And if you were dumb enough to pull that scam, why wouldn't you at least put him in some, I don't know, full arm length? Like, would you at least think about this first a little bit? Wouldn't you try to at least the smart way to try to cover it up? Cover the tattoos up? You know, put on like a Groucho Marx glasses or something to disguise the face? Come on now. Or maybe not use the person and the same leadership role, and think, oh, yeah, no one will notice. What a dumb thing to do, honestly. So, because Jackson never served a suspension, he would be considered ineligible, and every game he participated would be a forfeit. So we're talking about one of the top teams in the state that tried to pull this nonsense. I'm sure there's teams that have pulled the little shenanigans here or there, but that's a big shenanigan to pull. Like, in the grand scheme of shenanigans, that's like a 10 out of 10 shenanigan. You can't do that. What was that one pitching coach or whatever for the Mets that got ejected from a game and he came back with the Groucho Marx glasses on and he thought no one would notice? Yeah, we've seen these things on the pros too, but at least he wasn't an eligible player on the field that would do something like this. I just don't get it. I want to talk to you about some youth football in a moment. Let me get to Mark, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Ryan.
How are you?
Hey, that Cardinal Ritter thing, that's I don't know what's going on. I was just talking to the producer, and I said, let me call in. I wonder, will that work in the workplace? What do you think?
Do you want to get someone to substitute for you in the workplace?
Do you think I can get somebody to come in and work for me about a week while I take a...
Oh, you're in trouble. Do you remember that movie from the 90s, Multiplicity?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was Michael Keaton. He clones himself, uh-huh. And originally he says, I'm going to send that person to my workplace so I can take some time off. What ends up happening?
Yeah.
They like the clone better than him. Next thing you know, he's not working, and he wants to get back to work. Mark, you could be setting a chain reaction off and get yourself in trouble.
I better nix that. I better think a different way. I was thinking maybe I can get me a quick vacation, send someone in, put the uniform on, wear a hat and sunglasses, and, you know, for about a week.
You see, we got to think through these schemes before they're executed, because we got to make sure they're executed properly so they work.
Yeah, I better not do that. He might be a better worker than me, and they keep him. So. And promote him.
Thanks, Mark. Right. Good to hear from you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, these schemes rarely work. This seems like a 1980s sitcom plot line. You know, in the 80s or whatever, a simple plot line would be, oh, no, they're at a restaurant, and they accidentally double book dates, and I got to take this girl out for a date, and I also have to take her out for a date. What am I going to do? So they sit down at one table, and he'd say, oh, I need to go use the bathroom. And he'd run over to the other table. Oh, no, excuse me, I need to run to the bathroom. Oh, I need to go back to the bathroom. And they keep running between tables, and you think, how long can this juggling act last? This mindset, it doesn't work. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I wonder if the coach or whoever decided to do this, it had to have been the coach. How could the coach not notice this, right? I mean, the coach would have to be involved and all the players would have to be. This is a massive conspiracy. Who tipped him off? Could there have been a whistleblower on the team that tipped him off? I don't feel right about this. And it's a Catholic school. How could all the Catholic kids lie? All of them lie and try to cover this up. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's traffic station, KMOX. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Let's go to Susie in Missouri. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I was listening to you talk about how stupid the coach was to allow this kid to come in without putting on long sleeves.
Yeah.
I believe we're getting the wrong message. This boy did something wrong that had some consequence, and the coach is totally okay with dishonesty and deceit. What kind of a message are we sending these kids?
Yeah. Well, they had to have all known. If you know who your teammates
exactly.
are, they all would have known. And it's a conscious decision. How'd that conversation go? I wonder. Yeah. And the thing, I mentioned that
I
at the end of the show, but it's a Catholic school, too. There should be a little higher standard when it comes to things like honesty.
That's the premise. And I believe the coach should now have some consequences as well.
You think that's a fireable offense if that's the coach's? He had to have been complicit in it, at least, or at the most, came up with the idea.
How could he? Yeah, I think that it's not how I would want my children to be coached and taught.
Would you fire the coach?
You know, I don't know all the variables there, but it's certainly a consideration.
Okay, thanks, Susie.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. You got to get better at cheating. I mean, honestly, that was a tongue-in-cheek thing. I didn't mean that he should have gone out there and found better ways to cheat. It's not like that's what I was endorsing. That was a tongue-in-cheek thing. Hey, you should have worn long sleeves and a disguise like a Groucho Marx.
Stop it.
Yeah, I know. I know. But all the other teammates knew.
Stop it!
How do you feel if you're someone that would have benefited from that? As in, the whole team likes this running back, apparently. He's a good player, Bill Jackson and all. But maybe you're the person that would have got the extra time. This would have been your opportunity to shine. And you find out, oh, yeah, we're going to illegally suit him up, call him a different player name, and now you're not going to play again. Aww. So if they did a team vote, 50 say yes, one says no. Oh, man. Of course they didn't do it that way. And who tipped him off? There was photo evidence, sure. But was it a whistleblower situation? I don't know. 436-7900. That's the phone number if you want to call or text, or 800-925-1120. And Beth from Texas. Back again. What's going on, Beth?
Are you sure that this is not a football team from Texas?
You think that's something they would do there?
It sounds like it. No, but I was wondering, you know, if it's a brand new coach, you might not have known that the guy had been suspended.
So you're trying to come up with some scenarios where it would have slipped through the crack.
But you're right. The whole team would have known. The team would have known. So,
this is like the scenario where you have a substitute teacher and all the kids say, no, they said we're allowed to watch the movie today. Yep. All right. I guess we're watching the movie today.
The other question I have is, in Texas, you cannot get a tattoo if you're under 18.
Mm-hmm. Well, with parents,
even with parental permission, you cannot get it under 18.
Wonder how old this.
So if he's 16 as a junior, he's going to be 16, 17, and he did it last year. He had to have been 16.
Yeah, or 17. If he was a junior at the time, he could have been 17 here in Missouri, and then 18 for his senior year. Just the way that the school years go. You know, I'm curious if anyone knows the law in Missouri when it comes to minors getting tattoos. Give us a call because I want to know that for myself.
But the reason why I called was years ago, and I told the producer I thought you were too young to remember, and he laughed and said, no, he's older than I am, and I know he knows it. Mm-hmm. There was a Brendan Fraser movie called Blast from the Past where the family got stuck underground for years. And when they finally got out and the guy builds his father this beautiful house above ground, what you do? He starts drawing ways to go back underground.
Oh, that's what their comfortable livelihood is like.
Yeah. But if you give a young enough child and tell them, no, you can't go outside, no, you can't do something. You know, the 9-year-old, because they've been under for 9 years, and the youngest one was 18, the 9-year-old might have been able to say, you know, okay, what daddy says is all right. But what about the rest of them? They were old enough to know. They would have known what was going on.
Maybe. You know, yeah, because they'd have been teenagers. Teenagers. Oh, that's interesting.
There's got to have been something keeping them down in that, wherever they kept them.
Yeah.
Because he would go out and disappear.
Yeah.
You know, and do his stuff during the daytime. They had to know something. And think about how do they keep it with electricity and water and everything else?
Don't know if that was still going or who knows. Maybe they never asked questions. I would have been suspicious, like, society has collapsed, but somehow we still have running water and all of these other things associated with it.
Oh, I know, but there's too many people who have in their backyards or out in the countryside have built the bunkers.
Yeah.
You know, because they think something is coming. And they are pretty much self-sufficient in some ways. But I would just be terrified that you would live, someday you'd live on the ground because of something that happened.
Yeah. I've seen people build these makeshift bunkers out of old school buses. They'll like dig a trench or a hole, put a school bus in the ground, and they'll build accommodations underground in the school bus. Now, that's a fascinating idea.
We don't have basements in the South, or at least in this part of Texas, you don't. But my grandmother used to have a root cellar. It was on a hill behind the house. Mm-hmm. And if a tornado was coming and they'd get on the radio that there was a tornado coming, that was the one place that my grandmother sent all of us into this hole that was dug in the ground, you know, but that was common in place when she lived out in the country, that that's what they did. They kept all the vegetables in there during the winter so they didn't spoil. But during the storm, that's where you went instead of going into a basement.
So how many people could fit in that cellar?
I saw 10 go in there one time.
10? Okay, that's a big cellar.
I have claustrophobia, and I had a very, very hard time going down in there. And she knew it. And so I would sit in the door. Mm-hmm. Until it rained so hard that the water would come in, or the wind would get so bad it looked like it was going to, the tornado was coming, and she would pull me in, and I would sit in her lap at the hall, kind of the entry hall. But this had been built for years, you know, and it had there was a wall system, there were shelves around the outside.
Wow.
You know, it was a solid. It was not just a, I call it a hole in the ground, but it really was like a basement in the north.
This reminds me of Little House on the Prairie or something like that, an old 1950s TV show where they always ran to the cellar in an emergency and they had to outrun the tornado that was coming their way. Wow.
That's kind of the way it was going at that time period. Yes.
Wow. All right, Beth.
Because it was the Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
And you did it all the time.
Thanks for calling in, Beth.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, Producer Mike, you said that in the state of Missouri, you looked up the law. You need to be 18 to get a tattoo, but you can get a tattoo with parental consent if you're a minor. Is that
correct?
Okay. What's the youngest you can get a tattoo? Did it say?
With parental consent, there is no minimum.
Whoa. So you could be 10 and get a tattoo if your parents say it's okay?
You could be 10 months.
10 months old.
You could be 10 days.
They're 10 days old. I wonder if there's a moral code of conduct from tattoo artists that they will not cross the line. I will not do a 1-year-old. I will not do a 10-year-old. You know, what a mistake. Those kids don't understand at that age. If I was allowed to get a tattoo at that age, I would have a Where's Waldo tattoo on my body. I'd have a Where's Waldo tattoo. That's probably what I would have got. Isn't that something? All right, another half hour left of the show tonight. We go till midnight. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Who knows? There may be some more singing. There's another youth football story. Super Bowl champion blasts youth football league after coach was fined $500 and suspended over a big victory. What does a big victory mean in youth football? You may be kind of surprised to hear it. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Oh. It broke again. I'm having bad luck with this microphone arm. It keeps falling. I'm still trying to get over this cold or whatever. I talked to Maria about it, and she says it might be the lingering effects of the flu. I don't know. Yeah. I just hope I'm feeling all right by the time I go on vacation. So I'm out all next week. All next week. So I only have this last half hour, and then tomorrow, and then I'm going to be enjoying a nice week of vacation. And you're going to have Brad Young and Walter Sterling filling in. A combination of them through the days next week. So I'm going to let Producer Mike pick what I'm going to talk about next. I did tease this, and I'll save it for the next segment. Super Bowl champion blast youth football league after coach faces $500 fine. Or I could read Judy's email who just came in. Judy emailed me puns. Would you want me to do the football story, youth football, or do you want me to read you some puns?
I say let's go with Judy.
Okay.
I like a good pun.
Thanks, Judy. Oh, she gave me a bunch of puns. All right, here's some puns to fun your day. I like it already. Dogs can't operate MRI scanners, but cats can. Our mountains aren't just funny. They are hill areas. Hey, you're not laughing. Turning vegan would be a big missed steak. Listen to the show nightly and like it, though you might enjoy some more puns. Okay, I got some more. More puns. Now, Judy said she listens every night. This is great. Now, Judy just emailed me maybe 5 or 6 minutes ago, so she's probably listening right now. So, Judy, I got more for you. Well, to be frank, I would have to change my name. Life is short. If you can't laugh at yourself, call me, I will. What? I don't get that one. Do you get that one? Ban pre-shredded cheese. Make America great again. Come on. Wait, hold on. Producer Mike, why do you have your head down on the table? It says, I scream, you scream, the police came, it's awkward. That's not a pun. Despite the high cost of living, it remains popular. Popping soda cans is soda pressing. He who laughs last didn't get it. That's you, Producer Mike. That's you. Life without music would be flat. Whenever I try to eat healthy, a chocolate bar looks at me and snickers. Pretty good. Okay, we did a choose your own adventure. That's what you picked. Hey, you live with it, Producer Mike. Now you're going to have to remember and have that run through your mind all night. Thank you, Judy, for sending those in. Those are pretty good. Those are pretty good ones. I didn't read them all. I just was scanned through a few of them. Here's one. In search of fresh vegetable puns, let us know. Lettuce. No. Super Bowl champion blasts the football league after coach was fined $500. So two-time Super Bowl winning wide receiver Torrey Smith tweeted his frustration Saturday with the Pennsylvania Youth Football League that allegedly fined and suspended a coach over a team's big victory. If you want to say anything about this, these puns, text me. What did you think of those puns? 436-7900. All right, so it was the Keystone State Youth Football League based in Philadelphia. A coach was suspended, coach of the youth football team, $500 because he won a game 36-0. Oh, the audacity of winning a game 36-0. And this is what Torrey Smith said on Twitter. It says, today's story of we are building weak children. The youth football team in my wife's hometown had a game today. They won 36-0. They don't allow you to win by 31 without this type of punishment. And then he added, kids need to learn how to deal with failure. Don't want to get smashed, play better. Life doesn't let up. When it rains, it pours. The other kids can't give their all because there is a rule. Work hard, but not too hard. That's stupid. It's hard to find youth coaches as is, but you consider fining a coach $500 an appropriate punishment? And if you truly want to have a slaughter rule, simply stop the game. How do you coach or play knowing that you can't score? That's just stupid. So the coach was Kyle Williams. This is what Kyle said. Less than 2 minutes left, I called a timeout because I pulled all the starters off the field. I put in my kids who normally would never play. Then a five-year-old player on the team scored towards the end of the game, even though Williams said he ran down the sideline, telling the child to fall down and not to score, but the kid did it himself. How ridiculous is it, honestly? I want you to think about some of the lessons you can learn in losing. One of the lessons is you don't always win, but you strive towards it. Part of the lesson of losing is you learn how to react when you lose. You learn how to act when you lose. You learn sportsmanship in both scenarios when you win or lose. And I want to think about these other players that were put into the game because they didn't have an opportunity. Is it really fair to them that you're going to punish this team because now you have the opportunity to play this game? Is it fair to this five-year-old who's playing youth football that he has to lay down and he's not allowed to score that touchdown? Is that fair to take that moment away from that kid because you want to be extra careful and you want to be extra safe that you might upset another team? And how in the world is losing by 31 points all that bad? That's not even bad at all. 31 points, 6, 12, 18, 24, 30. That's like five touchdowns. okay, considering you may only score one of those with an extra point or whatever. Five touchdowns and over the course of a full game, that's nothing. In the NFL, 30 points is like average. That's like an average what a team would score. So how terrible can it actually be for these kids that you're now sending this message that you're not allowed to play to your full capacity? You're not allowed to play to your full potential. You're only allowed to play to the potential of how much you'll upset the other team. Because we need to be mindful. You know, we can't be too good because it would be unfair to the kids who are no good. We can't be that good. And imagine all of these other players that make it to the pros. When you go back and they learn about the times they would skate on the ponds and they would go to the open areas and the rec centers, or they would go and play basketball down in the park, or they would go into the youth baseball. And you would see that these kids would have all sorts of potential. Imagine if the coaching at the time, in the leagues at the time, said, you're not allowed to be too good. We might get in trouble for it. And then all of a sudden, their future is totally stunted. It's insane. Now, it's not to say that all those kids are actually going to have a future in sports. But what does that say about anything else in life? You know, imagine if we applied that in the classroom. Boy, you don't want to get that perfect score on that test. It may, you don't want to get too many points ahead of the last kid in the class because, ooh, that might shame them that they got a bad grade. Ooh, so terrible that you would try to achieve something on your own and try to have a personal achievement or a musical instrument. Oh, boy, don't want to go to that recital and play the song to the best of your ability because, man, there's someone there that couldn't quite figure out how to use that ukulele in that talent show, and you don't want them to look bad. So how do we apply that to anything else? In sports in general, the idea is you're able to perform to the best of your ability, and the coaching can bring that best of your ability out. But this is the counter. This is the absolute counter. Now we're saying that the coaching's not allowed to bring to the best of your ability. It's only to the best of what's the lowest. So we got to set what the floor is, and you're only allowed to go so high. It's like putting that glass ceiling in. It's so dumb. So dumb. Torrey Smith is 100% right. You're taken away from the kids who want to achieve, and yes, that transfers to other parts of their life if you try to. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We're back for one more segment on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Mountain bound and now. Some pretty good text messages coming in to 436-7900. I wish the Cardinals would have snuck in Mike Trout or Yelich into their lineup against Washington. You think we could have got away with it? Oh, unsigned rookie out of the Dominican Republic, and we'd have to, like, do some sort of disguise. How come we've never heard of this kid? He's great. Let's see. The football team winning the big blowout game. I don't see 36-0 a blowout, but it's unfair to take money from the coach's pockets. Here's a suggestion. If the team is up by 31, then either leave whenever that the score, no matter how many touchdowns they score, unless the losing team scores at least two touchdowns. But they said they could just enact a mercy rule. Maybe it's better to just put in some sort of mercy rule. Youth sports, another text message, should teach kids that losing is not a big deal and it's part of the game. At that age, it's absolutely part of the game. You know, what happens too when those kids are back at home and they pick up the video game controller and they play Madden or they play NHL or they play whatever games against each other, and they're at the point where they realize that they're going to lose. So you're saying that, well, we're going to have to turn the game off so they don't show the player or the team losing? Is that what's going to happen too? I mean, it's so ridiculous of a premise if you think about it. It is absolutely a stupid premise to think that you're going to punish for putting in the backup squad that who never gets to play and who had the opportunity to play and have earned something and to take away something that they've earned in that opportunity. It really is something. So thank you for those text messages. And just another reminder, you can listen to our podcast online by going to KMOX.com/ONA. This is a little off topic, but, you know, it's the end of the show, so might as well. Tom calling in from Kirkwood. Hi.
Hey, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I've been enjoying your show. Sir, I just have to ask a question real quick. I was looking at the news today, but my television went out there on me halfway through it. And I was wondering if there's any truth to the rumor that Iran is building a bomb so big, so massive, so heavy that they themselves cannot lift it.
Iran built a bomb. Like, where would you hear a rumor like that? So where did it come from?
I think it was Fox News. I'm not 100%.
It was so large they can't lift it. No, I don't know about that. Like, you're watching TV and then something like this came through the scroll.
That's the way I heard it, sir.
Yeah, when it comes to Iran and the way the country has been secretly building up their missile program and their capabilities, it certainly is still a threat. There's, I don't know, Tom. I haven't heard that one.
I heard that they're starting to build them lighter so they can pick them up and move them around. All right. Well, listen. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
No problem. Thanks, Tom.
Have a nice evening.
You too. Yeah, no, if it's a transportation issue, I don't think that's ever been a problem with Iran. I don't think they have a problem secretly transporting things. I mean, for the longest time, what kind of issues did we have? Even going back to George W. Bush when he was in office, we had issues where countries that were secretly running these programs, and we would send in the UN, and they would go and try to look it up, and, oh, were they doing this? Were they doing that? And secretly, we found that it's very easy for them to transport things in and out and try to hide these things, even when there's evidence that at some point these programs were there. So, yep, there it is. You know, Kevin Killeen did another great whole nother story. Maybe this is the right thing to put back in there. But then again, I should probably mention this for Tom. I don't spend a ton of time watching the news networks when I'm not at the radio station. I pay attention, but I read the articles, and I don't watch a lot of the opinion shows. I'm so burnt out on it. It gets so boring. I'd prefer to listen to Kevin Killeen's whole nother story.
Have you turned on your heater yet this early autumn?
No.
So are you sleeping under a lot of blankets, like a jamboree, a Boy Scout camp out?
No.
And the house is comfortable?
Just one blanket.
All right, so it sounds like your house is really snug.
It's over in the syndicate building, which is very snug.
Oh, you're part of the syndicate.
Yeah, I'm part of the syndicate, yes.
So they get heat coming up all the time from your neighbors who turn on the heat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lady below you with curlers on who's got the thermostat on 80, probably.
Who knows?
Have you turned on your heater yet?
I have not.
It's cold these mornings. How do you hold out? What do you say? What's your goal? What keeps you going?
The fact that I can save money. I'm kind of a tightwad. And the fact that it's really not that cold in my house, 64, 65, I can deal with that.
Sir, have you turned on your heater yet?
What was that?
Have you turned on your heater yet?
Nope.
How long do you think it can last?
I'm trying to make it to November.
November 1st?
Yeah.
That's thermostat day in your house.
Yeah.
And you get a feeling of like it's a contest of wills between you and the gas company?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get past Ameren right now. So once I get past them, then
you're still paying for the summer air conditioning.
There you go.
Have you turned on your heater yet at home, or are you holding out to the last minute?
No, I have cut my heat on because I'm cold.
And what was the breaking point where you said, this is it, I have to turn the on button?
I just went on and cut it on.
Were you walking around the house in coat and glove?
No, I was all right.
Did you have a quilt on your lap as you read the paper?
No.
Were you drinking hot tea constantly?
No.
What made you break? Why did you have to give in and turn it on?
I was a little chilly.
Most people told me they like to set their thermostats around 67 or 68 degrees to keep warm, which brings up a great mystery. Why does 68 degrees feel warm in the house this time of year when in the summer a thermostat set on 68 for your air conditioning seems extravagantly cold? With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
One of the great mysteries of life. I want to thank Kevin for doing just a phenomenal job on the whole nother stories. That does it for us. I want to thank the person that text message said, thank you. I'm glad you're feeling better. You know, I still feel sick. I just don't feel sick enough to call off another time. But I'm hoping that by the weekend, I'm going to be feeling better. I'm off next week. Now, don't forget Overnight America. Since we started at 8 o'clock tonight, which means the next 2 hours are a replay of our first 2 hours, which means you're going to get a lot of great stuff to enjoy if you're sticking around with us. That includes Donald Trump giving us a nice mention If you want to hear Donald Trump giving producer Mike a mention during the Blues' big celebration, oh, don't go anywhere. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you. Bye.
With the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio. Find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.